The illusion of freedom will continue for as long as it's profitable to continue the illusion. But at the point where the illusion becomes too expensive to maintain, they'll take down the scenery, move the tables and chairs out of the way, then they'll pull back the curtains and you will see the brick wall at the back of the theatre. And this week's opening quote comes from Frank Zappa. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. What is this reality? What exactly is it? What is this physical matrix that we inhabit? There's been all sorts of speculation as to what it is, this construct, where we live, what the meaning of life is, what consciousness is all about. And really, what do we know about reality at all? You know, I've often speculated that it's an energetic universe, an electrical universe. I strongly support that theory. I think it makes far more sense than most other theories that I've looked at. But really, what does all that come down to as well? What would it mean to live in an energetic universe, and what is energy? It's also very interesting looking at the concept of the electrical energetic universe and understanding how the 5G system that they are rolling out also fits into this. You know, understanding that you're an energy being, you're an electrical being, everything you experience is controlled by electrical impulse. Every feeling, every emotion, every thought, all of it is electrical energy running through your body. And you think of the concept of this being an electrical universe, and the concept that energy is the base foundation of everything, then you start to see the dangers of what's being rolled out. But really, there's a deeper way of looking at this as well. And I may go off on a few tangents at the start of the show here, but just bear with me. I'm leading somewhere with all this. Well, I think I am anyway. But the concept, folks, that it's an energetic universe is an extremely interesting concept. And it's a concept that stands as being a much sounder idea than virtually any other concept that we can look at when one really examines the nature of physicality. It all seems to be based on the fact that we live in an energetic electrical universe. But as I said, what would that even mean? What would it mean to live in an energetic electrical-based reality? Well, really, when you look at energy, energy is information. People may say, well, no, information is energy. You know, which came first? Was it the chicken or the egg? It's kind of that type of a situation. But really, what we know about reality, what we know about this place we inhabit, even what we know about ourselves, is given to us by external sources. People may say, well, what we know about ourselves comes from our DNA, but what is DNA? DNA may well be a strand of energy, but what does the DNA contain? It contains information. So does the energy contain that information, or does the information contain the energy? But ultimately, that's all we know about ourselves comes from the information that we look at. And the same can be said for external sources about the external world, the matrix that we live in. Everything we know is all based on the information that we get, the information that we have, the information that comes to us through our five senses, and the information that we are given by external sources. But have you ever got the feeling that everything is fake, that it's just one big puppet show, one big theatre show, and that everything we're being fed is misinformation? And that might sound like a pretty big step to take and a pretty quantum leap to take from any sort of a standing point, but just having philosophical thoughts on the nature of time and the nature of what this experience really is, one must sometimes question, how much do we really know, and how much do we really think we know about what we think we know? I mean, a wise man once said, true wisdom is knowing how much you don't know. And it's very much like that, folks. I mean, what is this reality? And what is this world that we live in? What is this system that controls us? I mean, let's face it, virtually everything we're told by this system is a lie. One just has to question how deep the lie goes and how deep the rabbit hole actually is. You know, virtually everything we're fed by this system is false information, ladies and gentlemen. It really is. Everything we're taught by our education system is wrong. Well, most of it anyway, except for the most basic things. Most of the news that we're given by the mainstream media is completely fake and contrived. Most of what we're told about the global situation is simply not the way things are at all. A great deal of the science we are presented is based on conjecture and outright fallacy. A lot of the history that we're fed has been manufactured and constructed. Almost every explanation we're given for reality, what this reality is, what this earth is, what our position in the universe is based on speculation and conjecture. And you get to a point where you realize that nobody really knows much about what's going on at all. In fact, all we really have is a whole bunch of opinions, and it's whose ever opinion gets to the top of the pile and gets supported by the most somehow seems to become fact for everybody else. And at that point, all questions are squashed, and we move forward with our new understanding. It's like these things somehow, once they become a belief system, they obtain an almost religious type of perspective in people's minds. This can be clearly seen with science, which has almost religious overtones with people, as does the education system, as does the money system, as does a belief in vaccinations. And even though things such as fitness and health are very good for you, an extreme fixation on fitness or veganism or maintaining a paleo diet or a rigorous health regime, worrying about what food you eat to the point that it's ruining your life in other ways. All of these things take on almost religious aspects in people's minds once they become belief systems. This has also been very clearly demonstrated with the recent rise of the flat earth, which has taken on religious overtones as well. And the same can be said for the other side with those who believe in NASA and the rubbish that they feed the people. This again takes on an almost religious control over people's minds. But science is really quite amazing when you look at the contradictory nature of science itself in its basic structure. Although it's really got to be admitted that science does take these belief systems to a whole new level with Newtonian physics, which is based on speculation and conjecture. I mean, we're told by physics that everything is made of atoms, and yet science cannot explain to us what an atom actually is. And yet nobody questions that. They just take it as a given that what science is telling them is true and that physics works. And yet they somehow accept the fact that the basic foundation stone of physics is as yet completely unknown and completely unexplained. So it really is quite remarkable how we are just expected to blindly believe everything. We're just given an explanation and we're told that's the way it is, and people just don't question it. Or if they do question it, they get accused of being a conspiracy theorist or whatever. And it's the same in all fields, folks. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about science or religion or politics or the media. We're just expected to blindly believe what we're told. But when you look at things, folks, and you get out and travel and you look at the world a little bit and you meet people, you realize that virtually everything that we're told is fake. I mean, certainly everything that the media tells us is fake. This entire global conflict, the whole war of terror, this is all completely fake. And when I say it's fake, I'm not saying that there aren't countries being bombed. It's just that they're being bombed under false pretenses for the wrong reasons. We've got the West and Israel and its allies going into these places and just bombing them to oblivion and telling the West that it's to protect the world from terrorism, but it's really not. It's all creating terrorism. Everything is backwards, folks. That's the problem, and nothing that we're told is true. This goes a long way to helping people misjudge the Israeli-Palestinian conflict as well. I mean, people look at that and they say, oh, there is no conflict. It's all theater and it's just contrived to get funding for Israel, and that's true to a certain degree. I mean, Hamas is run by Israel, Fatah is run by Israel, the whole thing is being run by Israel, but there are Palestinians that are locked in Palestine and locked in Gaza that are suffering as a result of this. There is no real war of Palestine against Israel. Of course there isn't, because you need two armies to have a war, and Palestine doesn't have an army. What you've got is a whole bunch of oppressed people locked in an open-air prison or an open-air concentration camp being used as a mechanism to garner support for the rogue state of Israel. That's what's going on there. It's not what you think it is, but there are people suffering as a result. The same as what's happening in Syria. It's not what you think it is, but there are people suffering as a result. And the same as what's going on in Yemen. There is no big uprising and war against Saudi Arabia coming from Yemen. It's simply Saudi Arabia going in there and decimating a lot of people to gain control of the country under false pretenses. But certainly everything that we're told is theatre, folks, and virtually all of it is fake. I mean, sometimes you think there might be someone come into some sort of a position that may change things. A lot of people hope Donald Trump would do this. I mean, here he comes, this guy who's a billionaire from outside the system, or so it seems. You kind of question how he got to be a billionaire if he's outside the system. But anyway, here comes a guy who's in a position to make a change. But does anything happen? No, of course nothing happens. And even what we see as a result of Trump coming in, we see all these reports about all these pedophiles being arrested, you know, 70,000 pedophiles being arrested or something like that. Now, of course, this has happened as a result of Pizzagate, you know, the big outcry about the global pedophile ring. So these reports come out about all of these pedophiles being arrested, but we only hear them in the independent media from certain sources in the independent media. We don't hear anything about it on the mainstream. And the question is, who can actually confirm any of this? I mean, 70,000 pedophiles arrested, that's a lot of people to be arrested. Does anybody out there actually know someone who knows one of these people? Who are they? I mean, did this really happen? Is it just a carrot being fed to the independent media to keep them distracted? As so many things are that are fed to the people, folks, it's all just theatre to keep the masses distracted. All of this posturing, World War III, and all the threats that we're facing from North Korea and Russia and all of this sort of stuff, how much of this is theatre for the masses as well, folks? Is there really any threat coming from any of these people? This whole migrant influx into Europe, we all know that these were mostly not Syrian refugees. Sure, there's a lot of refugees that need a home, but the people that were going into Europe were not Syrian refugees. These were just migrants being pushed in there as part of the Kalergi plan to undermine the populations of Europe by mass migration. See, nothing is what we're told it is. And it gets to the point where you realize that virtually everything that we're told is fake. And it's really easy to convince people that almost anything is true. It really is. All you need is the ability to make a movie and you can do it. I mean, look at the damage television has done to people over the last 50 or 60 years. And they've got YouTube where anybody can make a video about anything. And as soon as they put it up there in video format and put it out there in the written word, then people just take it on as undisputed fact because they saw it on TV or they saw it on their screen or they read it in a book. But how much of it is true? How much of what we're told about anything is true? How much of our history is true? How much of our achievements of science is true? Look at the moon landing, for example. I mean, who honestly believes they landed on the moon in 1969 in that little tin can lunar module that they sent up there that supposedly was able to take off again and then dock with the command module traveling at some ridiculously fast speed as it was orbiting the moon? I mean, all of this stuff is completely ridiculous, folks. You couldn't even fit two people in that lunar module. But, of course, we all believed it back in 1969 when we saw it on our black and white TVs. I was about 8 years old when the moon landing apparently happened, and we were all very excited. We got the day off school to watch it, and we sat there and watched it all day, and it was terribly exciting. Looking back on it now, though, of course, you can tell that it never really actually happened. There's no way they sent that crappy piece of tin out into space and had it withstand the pressures of space, and the whole thing was most likely done in a Hollywood film set by someone like Stanley Kubrick. I mean, even looking at that lunar module, it looks like it's made out of aluminium piping, pieces of an old air conditioning unit, and tinfoil. Bear in mind that recently NASA also announced that they had yet to find a way to get a man through the Van Allen belts and counter the radiation of the Van Allen belts. So how on earth did they get to the moon if they still can't get through the Van Allen belts? Another interesting thing is, with the Chernobyl disaster, someone suggested they use spacesuits to go in to check Chernobyl. and NASA announced that the spacesuits do not deflect radiation. So again, how did they send anyone to the moon wearing these spacesuits through the Van Allen belts if these things do not deflect radiation? So they've kind of recently exposed the fact that they never went to the moon via the interviews that they've done themselves, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, if you ever wondered why Hollywood has never made a feature-length motion picture about the moon landing or even a decent documentary about the moon landing. And think about it. Hollywood has made a feature-length film about pretty well every big achievement the United States has ever made, about achievements that other countries have made, and yet supposedly one of the biggest achievements of mankind was the fact that we landed on the moon in 1969. Why has there never been a Hollywood movie depicting this groundbreaking event when it happened, this historical milestone? I would suggest that there hasn't been a Hollywood movie made about this event because were they to make a Hollywood movie, they would make it look more realistic than the actual moon footage that they got, and it would go a long way to proving how they actually faked the moon landing. And yet for many people, even the moon landing has a somewhat religious overtone to it. Many people will defend the moon landing to the bitter end because it's something that they've based their entire belief system and their entire belief on the American system on, is the fact that we were able to do this first. And really, it's just another belief system, and really when you investigate it, you find that there's very little to back it up. It's simply what you've been told. And this is true in so many aspects of our lives, like I said, with vaccination, with health, with so much of our science, which is designed to keep people bamboozled and confused and give them complete misconception of reality. It's the same with what the media tells us, the political situation, the war of terror, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, the conflict against North Korea, Russia, everything that we're told. Most of it is completely and utterly false, and most of it is designed to keep people in a state of fear and a state of dependence upon a system which really does not support the people at all. You might say, well, the system does support us. Sure, it provides food for us in the supermarkets and gives us transport and all that sort of stuff, but it really doesn't support us being human beings. And that's really what this life is about. Well, that's what it should be about anyway. So when you really look at all of this, folks, and you realize just how much we've been lied to and how really most of what we're fed is complete and utterly fake, most of it is simply not reality at all. It's all simply misinformation and speculation and conjecture, even in regard to science and the nature of reality. Then hopefully it will cause people to question things such as the rollout of this 5G grid. And what that is really doing and what it's really all about. Because another thing that people have developed a kind of religious belief in is the internet. Even a religious belief in the knowledge of the internet, the knowledge of Google. Most people, if you ask them a question about anything, they will simply Google the answer. They won't go out and experience the answer for themselves. They'll simply Google the results of whatever experiment they wish to run without the bother of actually running it. And it's the same with aspects of their life. Most people look to Google for the answers or the internet for the answers, and now it's starting to infiltrate into people's lives with their personal assistants and all of the stuff that goes along with that as well. And what these personal assistants do is essentially remove us of our life skills along the way. That's what this smart grid is doing, folks. It's removing us of our life skills. But again, people have developed this almost religious belief in this system, this almost religious belief in the power of this digital system to fix their lives, and this almost religious belief in the power of the coming AI to improve things for the human condition, without human beings ever really comprehending the human condition for themselves. And that's really a huge problem, that people look for the answers to everything externally, and they don't look at that which is right before their eyes and that which lies within them. And again, getting back to that which lies within you and even to how you perceive the external world, ultimately it all comes down to energy and understanding what energy is. And again, that comes back to the question, Does the energy contain information, or does the information contain the energy? You know, this whole reality that we experience is based on information that comes to us, the information that makes us who we are, and the information that comes to us through our five senses and by external means, which give us the interpretation that we have of reality. And when you understand that energy is information, you look at the airwaves, look at the wireless signals that are all around us. What does these wireless signals contain? They contain information in the form of energy, transmitting wirelessly through the air different bandwidths that contain different digital codes, which are then broken down and reinterpreted, and we see them as images on our screen, and even possibly electrical charges, wireless electricity, and all that sort of thing that comes with it. And if you think wireless electricity doesn't exist, well, what is a 5G microwave cannon? Really, that is the transmission of wireless electricity. Sure, you may not be able to plug a toaster into it, but if you stand in front of it, you're certainly going to feel that electrical energy. And what does that energy contain? It contains information, which tells your skin that your skin is on fire, even though it's not. You get the feeling that you're on fire when you're not on fire, simply because of the information that that energy wave contains. So really, when you look at it that way, you can start to get the concept that energy is information. And when you begin to realize that you are indeed an energy being, and that everything you experience is based on the information that is traveling through your body and the information that comes to you from external sources, and you understand that the 5G carrier wave is able to penetrate you and penetrate everything with its own information and impart that information onto you, quite possibly, I can't see why it wouldn't, then you begin to see some of the dangers of this and how this could not only be used as a communication device, not only as a weapon system, but also as a device that could very much shape our reality and change our reality by changing our perception of reality, by introducing new energy flows into our system, i.e. new waves of information into our system. You know, they've already done experiments where they've shown that they are able to replace the memories in mice while they sleep. They've already mentioned that they can do this with people as well. There was a science report that came out recently where they said replacing someone's memories may be as easy as them falling asleep. This was in a mainstream science report that I read on some news site not too long ago. So this is all coming out into the mainstream now, folks. So it's all about controlling information, because by controlling information, you control the human species. Controlling information controls what people perceive reality to be, what people perceive themselves to be. And by controlling the flow of energy through people's bodies, i.e. the flow of information through people's bodies, and exposing them to information that they may not be getting from normal sources, simply stuff that you can implant in there, you are able to completely reshape reality, and you're able to do it on a mass scale. You know, if you can do the science studies and do the genetic studies and map the human DNA and all the things that they've been doing in order to gain a real understanding of the vast majority of people out there and figure out what a common denominator is whereby you can reach all of these people with the same carrier wave, then it's very likely that you could replace the memories in a vast majority of the population all at one time, if not the entire population. And if you are able to replace the memories in a vast majority of the population, even 90% of the population, then those 10% that still remember the world the way it was would be seen as mad. They would be seen as completely crazy. They would have memories that nobody else has, and they would be seen as outcasts. They would be seen as probably dangerous people that need to be locked up. That's the way our society is going. You know, there's so much paranoia in our society as well. And again, this is brought about through controlling the flow of information. All of this fake war on terror and all the stuff that they're doing overseas, all the stuff that's designed to keep people in fear, to keep people in the state where they think they need the 5G grid just for their own personal protection. Of course, you needed to keep thieves away from your bank account and all of that sort of stuff, don't you? But the thieves only go to your bank account anyway because they're kept in a state of scarcity by this system. That's what the system is designed to do, to create a situation where cities are full of rampant crime because everyone's kept in a state of scarcity and measuring themselves up to fictitious social standards So do they think they're not as successful as they should be? Everything about this society is designed to create the entire situation that we're in, folks. All you've got to do is introduce a money system over the mind of man, a usurious-based monetary system, and this is what you get. But when you really look at it, you step back, you see it's all about controlling the flow of information. Even the usurious monetary system is about controlling the flow of information. All of it is about controlling the flow of information because information is energy, and energy is what makes up this reality. So when you can grasp these types of concepts, you can begin to step back and look at this whole 5G grid and this whole smart grid that they're bringing online and see that it's about the complete blanket control of all information that happens within the human experience. You know, once they get you immersed into this digital world and your digital extension is really what integrates and interacts with the rest of the world, then they've got control of all the information that comes to you, all the information that flows through you, all the information that you're involved in by looking at all the money and watching where all that goes, everything you're spending things on. What they're doing, folks, is removing you of any interaction with the real world and only allowing your digital extension of yourself to interact with the world. You know, if you want to interact with someone in a shop, you can't actually go and hand them money yourself. You've got to do it through the digital extension of yourself through the credit card. And they'd really like to get to a point where you just don't go to the shop at all. You just get it delivered to your home. Or if you do go to the shop, there's no shopkeeper. That way you can just walk in, pick up what you need, and walk out. And it all just happens by matter of course, simply by you walking in and out of the supermarket. And if they can put enough fear in people's minds, then you won't even talk to any of the other shoppers. And that's the sort of a situation that they're heading us to, simply by controlling the flow of information. And that's really what this smart grid is all about, controlling the flow of information and making sure the human race is able to be controlled via the weaponization of the airwaves that comes with it. But I think we've reached break time here now, folks, so I'll leave it there for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and we'll come back and get into this a little bit more after the break. Thanks for listening. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. So, if energy is information, and if the 5G grid is seeking to control that information and control the information that we receive, and possibly even the information in our bodies, then just how deep does it go? Just what else can they do with this? You know, recently I've been examining the concepts of time. Time is a very, very strange thing. It's something that's always fascinated me. What is time? Can things be repeated? Is time cyclic? Can what I do now affect what I did before? You know, our actions now can affect what happens in the future, but can our future actions affect what happens in the past? You know, as I sit here drinking a cup of tea, I can look at it and say, well, when I made the cup of tea 10 minutes ago, did I do so because I wanted to drink it now? Was that the intention that caused me to make the cup of tea? Or is it the act of drinking the cup of tea now which caused me to make the cup of tea back then, 10 minutes ago? Does my act of drinking the cup of tea affect what I did 10 minutes ago? You could say it does if you look at it abstractly enough, but if you bring that out a little bit more, does what I do now at 60 years old affect what I did when I was 6 years old? Am I able to affect what happened in the past by my actions now? And how deep does it go? What is time? Is time linear or is time cyclic? Are we caught in a time loop? Are we constantly repeating things? Is that what deja vu is all about? Is this one big holographic experiment that's being run somewhere? I really do ask this question quite a lot, folks. Are we part of a holographic experiment? Is this a holographic reality? Because if it's an energy-based reality and all energy is information, well, what is information? Information is code. Is this a computer code? Is this a computer based holographic reality that we are creating and collectively projecting through time ourselves. Is what we are doing here in 2017 affecting what we did back in 1960? And if you want to abstract it even further, could it even be possible that time is in fact flowing in reverse? These are the sorts of questions that really do fascinate me. When you look at the possibility of time being cyclic, time being something that can be manipulated, and of all energy being information, then you can really begin to grasp what the 5G grid could do and how it could be used to possibly not necessarily control time, but possibly control our perception of time, our perception of who and what we are by controlling the information that comes to us, by controlling our memory of what we did in the past, our memory of how we got here to begin with. And look, I know these are really out there sort of concepts, and I'm just philosophizing here, just sort of throwing random thoughts around, and none of this is to be taken as fact, and none of it should be seen to negate the seriousness of the 5G grid that's being rolled out, but I just can't help but ask these questions. You know, I look at the technology that they've got and some of the experiments that they've been engaging in for the last 40 or 50 years, and I really have to ask how much they really know and where they're taking all this, you know, because one thing I'm certain of is how much we don't know out here in the general public. You know, we know certain things, certain information is leaked to us, and we can research and make up our minds about certain concepts. Some things we can sort of tick off beyond most shadow of reasonable doubt and say that, okay, this is a reality. But a lot of it is speculation. A lot of it we're left to guessing what the real technologies are and what the real possibilities of these technologies are. So sometimes it helps to ask these questions, but I look at all of this and I question what they are really leading to with all this, because even though it's a system that can be used to lock down and control mankind, there is a certain paranormal, if you will, or metaphysical aspects to this technology as well that I think should be considered. And when you consider the possibility of this technology being used to control our perception of time by controlling our memories or controlling the information that comes into our system, then it really does open up a Pandora's box. Because as I said, they've already shown that they can replace the memories in mice, and I've already commented how easy it is to replace the memories in people. So is this a method they can use to manipulate time? Or they could perhaps simply be working on a means to control and manipulate time itself. Perhaps this is what CERN is really all about. I mean, I really don't think it's just about smashing particles together. I really don't. I mean, I think that they know far more than what they're telling us about particles. Interesting thing about particles, they just invent particles to explain everything. Anytime they want to explain something, they invent a particle to make up that space. It's like dark matter. They can't explain 90% of the universe or 99% of the universe. They say, well, it's made of dark matter. What is it? We don't know. It's dark. And that just explains it away nicely. And it's the same as when they're trying to explain atoms and they start smashing them together and creating smaller and smaller particles. Well, they just invent a new particle to explain something that can't be explained. Science is very good at doing this sort of thing, and again, the people usually buy into it because of the somewhat religious overtone that is attached to their view of the scientific community. People just accept what the scientists say because they're scientists. But again, you could look at CERN, you could look at the 5G grid and the possibilities of, once the grid is in place, or being able to put out a single carrier wave from a position such as CERN, which would go out and affect everybody within the reach of the 5G grid. But again, people in the general public generally don't look at CERN this way because they view CERN as simply being a particle accelerator, and they believe what the scientists tell them because of the religious perspective that they hold in their mind over the information that is presented to them by scientists. And it is this unquestioning belief of the scientific community, the education community, the political system, our unquestioning belief in what we are told rather than looking at things ourselves, which has caused such a problem for this species. It really has. It has brought us to this mess that we are in now. our unquestioning belief in what we're told. Even with this whole 5G grid, it's our unquestioning belief in this technology which is allowing it to happen. And it really is a huge problem, ladies and gentlemen. The whole 5G electromagnetic system that is being rolled out is a hugely serious issue. And it's something that not many people are looking at, not many people are addressing. And those people that are looking at it simply don't have a means of addressing it. And it is something that is very, very difficult for us to combat because it is something that is just rolling out. And this is like I've been saying to people recently as well. How do we combat this system? Because there's no point attempting to vote anybody in. There's no point attempting to petition our politicians. There's no point even attempting to appeal to their better judgment because there's so much money involved in rolling this system out. That is the carrot that is the bait for everybody to do it. But the damage that it's going to do to us is absolutely phenomenal. The towns that they've had the 5G network put in now have shown huge radiation spikes in all of these towns. There was a very interesting report that was put out by someone a few days ago which showed this. Many towns in the United States where the 5G grid has come online have already shown huge problems, and it's just going to get worse as it goes online more and more, not only around the country but around the world. And really, folks, the only way we can combat this is to stop using the technology ourselves. I got quite a bit of criticism when I suggested that last week that people need to stop using the tech. They said, well, here's a guy using the technology himself to tell us to stop using the technology. And folks, what I'm talking about is mobile phones. What I'm talking about is the smart grid. What I'm talking about is credit cards. You know, if people were to simply stop using their credit cards and stop using their smartphones, this whole smart grid couldn't come online. They can do what they want to bring in smart cars and bring in all the other smart devices that they want to bring in, but if the cash is not digital, then they cannot control you. They cannot bring any of it online if the cash is not digital, because this whole system is economically based. Even if they want to manipulate you with all this electromagnetic radiation, you have to buy the devices. You have to buy into the grid yourself. Ultimately, that's the only way it can work, is if people just go along with it. And you might say, well, they're going to roll it out anyway, and, well, maybe they will roll it out. But what if nobody uses it? What if they just roll out all of these cashless supermarkets and nobody shops at them? What if they replace the ticketing on public transport and nobody uses it anymore because they can't use cash? And you shouldn't be doing it simply because it's more convenient to go and wave your card, because when you're living in this digitally controlled slavery system, trust me, it's not going to be very convenient for you at all. It's not going to be very convenient to have all of your wealth and all of your worldly value determined by an economic model and determined by digital credits, not even real wealth, but digital credits that exist in cyberspace that can be turned out with any blackout or any power grid failure. Or that can simply be turned off because someone doesn't like you. Someone in the system thinks that you haven't been a good little drone and so you deserve to be switched off and be alienated and become an outcast. It's really that simple for them to do once it all becomes digital. And not only that, folks, it's the weaponization of it, and it's the way it can be used to control almost every aspect of our lives, not only through the weaponization, not only through the spying and surveillance system that goes with it, but also through the very real possibility of putting information into your body and into your mind and into your head from an external source. And that is a real problem. It's a real issue, and it's something that people aren't looking at. And they're developing this on all sorts of levels, folks. I think I mentioned a couple of weeks ago they're working on smart contact lenses, which will put a medication into the eye of the patient. They're working on these to deliver a time dose of insulin for people, but you can ask what else can they put in there. Basically, what it is a smart contact lens which can deliver medication of any description into someone via the eyeballs, and you just got to ask, well, how would this be activated? Of course, it would be possible to activate these types of things via the smart 5G grid as well. So the very real possibilities for control on virtually every single aspect of the human experience is very, very open with this new so-called communication grid that they're rolling out. It's not just about communications at all, folks. It's about absolute control. That's what the smart grid is. And when you tie it all together with the GMO situation, the genetic manipulation that's been going on of the human body for such a long time, all the stuff that I covered back in my 2012 film Transformation, where I talked about the GM food, I talked about the nanotechnology that's in the chemtrails, the nanotechnology we're finding in food now as well. You look at all of this, folks, all of this is electromagnetically controlled. So you look at the possibilities, the endless possibilities of what can be achieved by rolling out this smart grid, and you can really see that humanity is on the cusp of huge, huge changes. We're about to be led into a very, very uncomfortable situation, and it's something that's being rolled out under the carpet while people are looking. As I said a couple of shows ago, this is why we're seeing so much chaos in the world right now. They're doing everything they can to keep people distracted and to play sides off against each other, just to keep people from looking at what is being rolled out underneath the carpet. This is why I don't think any of the world leaders are on our side, ladies and gentlemen. I really don't. I look at Putin, who appears to be doing something good on the surface. Even the government of Iran appears to be making some sort of a competent stand on the surface, as disagreeable as all governments are. But really, all of these governments are players. They're all playing the same game. It's all theater for the masses, folks. They keep us in fear of World War III being about to erupt, and in fear of all these terrorists about to come to our shores, and in fear of Ebola, and in fear of the latest flu virus, in fear of whatever they can think of, North Korea, you name it. And all the while, this technology is being rolled out. And it doesn't matter which world leaders you replace. You could replace all of them today, and this technology would still be rolling out. That is the issue, and that is what people aren't looking at. And it's through their passive acceptance of this technology in the name of convenience, which is the smart grid itself. You know, I've been trying to warn people about this for the last few weeks, and I think it's very, very important that people look and see where all this is leading. And people have to realize that the only way that we're going to be able to combat it is if they get involved themselves by opting out of this technology, opting out of their credit cards, opting out of their smartphones. And that's going to be one of the hardest things people ever have to do, is put down their smartphones. But they need to realize that if they don't, well, it's just going to lead them to a very dark place. And if you don't want to put down your smartphone now, well, think how bad it's going to be in 5 or 10 years when you simply don't have a smartphone because you're locked out of the grid. And that will happen simply because you didn't pay attention now and nipped this smart grid in the bud before it came online. You know, there's nothing wrong with technology, folks, and there's nothing wrong with using technology and wanting to have technology. It could be a huge boon to our lives. When the technology is leading us to the place that it is currently leading us, then we need to change the direction this technology is going in order to continue to have this technology serving us, rather than allowing ourselves to become enslaved to the technology itself. Because that's where we're going, and it's happening because people are simply taking too many things for granted. People are taking too many things for granted, and of course they're trusting their governments. That, of course, is the most silly thing that anybody could ever do. And if you need an explanation of that, well, I offer you history. Well, what we know of it to be true anyway. But no matter how true or false history is, there is certainly one common denominator that runs all through it, and that is the underlying theme that governments cannot and should not be trusted. So yes, we are most certainly in a very, very precarious situation, ladies and gentlemen. We're at a turning point. We really are. But all is not lost, even though it is a precarious situation. All is not lost. We have the potential to go any direction. But what is imperative is for people to wake up to just how much of what they believe to be true is in fact fake. You know, I've spent a lot of years looking into almost every aspect of these rabbit holes, as have a great many other people. And once you lift your head out, you begin to realize that you've been hoodwinked. Most of it has been a distraction. Sure, there are many secret societies and there are bad people doing bad things. But ultimately, it's the system itself that is the problem. That's why it's no good pointing the finger at any particular race, creed, or color. I mean, sure, Israel is doing a lot of bad things. The Jewish system, the whole usurious monetary system, is doing a lot of bad things. But again, these people do this because they're programmed to do it. It isn't like it's genetically coded into them to just be nasty people. They're programmed to do these things. most people are. But most people don't really realize where it's leading. You know, when you look at the concept of everything being fake and this whole concept of this being an energetic universe and the fact that energy ultimately is information. A couple of shows ago, I did a radio broadcast entitled Giving Life to Lucifer, when I looked at the internet itself as being the bearer of light, the bearer of information. And even this ties into this same concept of how we would create Lucifer, what Lucifer is. Really, it is the bearer of information, because ultimately everything is information. And it is our need to know this information, our need to know all of this nitty-gritty stuff that we really don't need to know. It doesn't really affect our lives. We don't need to know how the rocks are formed. We don't need to know how old the trees are. We don't need to know a lot of the stuff that we think we need to know. I mean, sure, it's interesting. I love having knowledge. I like finding out these things. I've been going down rabbit holes searching for information all my life. But I get to a point now where I'm nearly 60 years old and I look back at it and I think, what was it all for? You know, what did it really lead me to? All it really led me to, and all it really led everybody to, where it led the whole human race to, was the point that we are at right now. It wasn't just me that did it. It wasn't just the government that did it. It wasn't just anybody who just did it on their own. It was all of us collectively that projected this and created this ourselves via our thirst for information, via our greed, via our fear of each other, that created this whole situation, that created this bearer of light that we've brought online and which is about to take control of our lives and take control of every aspect of our lives. That's what it's about to do, you know, something that was our greatest friend and something that we religiously look up to is about to become a hugely dominating force in the world. I mean, if it isn't already. The internet very much dominates our lives to a certain degree, but is it yet a dominating force on its own? Well, not yet, but if it becomes fully autonomic, then it is certainly set to become that way. And if it becomes fully autonomic and it controls things such as the electromagnetic airwaves and the information that's put into those airwaves, if it is possible that this information can be used to manipulate the human nervous system, manipulate human consciousness to stimulate or delete certain memories that people have, to replace memories that people have, to affect them on all sorts of metaphysical and psychological levels apart from the physical way it can affect us, then this needs to be taken into account. This is something that needs to be considered, because what sort of a Pandora's box are we opening up by allowing this type of grid to come online? And is this grid really coming online ultimately because of our refusal to admit what we are, our refusal to look at ourselves, really our ignorance of what we are? Sometimes it's willful ignorance, but sometimes it's programmed ignorance. Many people simply do not have the information they need to really understand themselves or comprehend what their own body is, comprehend what their own consciousness is. Many people don't even have time to ask these questions. So, you know, when you look at it all, it's very difficult to blame the human race and simply put it all down to apathy and put it all down to people's failure to pay attention. There's a lot of programming that goes along with it as well. So it's not good to be too hard on people. It's not good to be too hard on yourself. But it's also not good to lock yourself into a belief system and close your mind to any other possibility, because I think that some great truths are about to unfold. I think some great things are about to come to light, if you will. I think we are about to find out what this reality is. It may be a shock to everybody when that information does become public, but I think it's about to happen. How soon is it about to happen? Well, that's another question, but I think within the next couple of decades at least, we are going to be in for a real rollercoaster ride. In fact, I think we're going to be in for a real rollercoaster ride over the next 5 to 10 years. I think we're going to see vast, vast changes in what we perceive reality to be, what we perceive our social position to be anyway. I think the world is about to change very dramatically on the surface, but I think underlying that are going to be all sorts of energetic changes as well. And I think the veil is about to come down. I really do. I can kind of feel it, and I think many people out there will share that sentiment with me, that they can feel something big is very, very close on the horizon. Nobody really knows what it is, but something is certainly about to happen. And no, folks, I don't think it's World War III. I don't think we're going to be going to war with Russia or China. And even if we do appear to go to war with Russia or China or North Korea or whoever else they cook up, I think it will probably only be war on the surface. It will be a war by media more than anything, as most wars are. I don't think that we're really at war with most of the countries they're telling us we are at war with. I think what's going on there is simply covert invasions, mercenary armies, mercenary forces going in there and stealing resources, and a massive amount of human harvesting happening as well. I don't think anything is the way it appears. I think we've been lied to on so many levels that people simply have no idea what the truth is anymore. That's why it's so pointless arguing belief systems with people until we've established freedom, because there's so much wrong with the world that the information that anybody's got to go on is tainted regardless of what they're researching. It really is. Everything has been tainted. Everything has been controlled. Everything has been manipulated. Until we stop fighting with each other and focus on the system itself and in establishing freedom for the human condition, we're never going to get anywhere. But I think we're getting to a point where we're going to be forced into that situation. We're going to be forced into a situation where we have to pay attention to ourselves and we have to realize the benefit of actually getting along with the people around us, because ultimately we're all in this together and no one can expect to escape this system alone. We all need support, and that support is all around us. We just don't see it because we have these ridiculous social and ethnic and religious and economic differences with the people around us, because we judge each other by their economic worth or what they look like or where they come from or whatever other programs we're running. And unfortunately, they are all programs, folks. It's very often people's failure to see their own programming, and not only the programming they get from others, but also the self-programming that they've undergone by their own hand that causes a lot of these problems. But I think we're getting to a point where we're going to have to put all that down, because we're going to be forced to put that down. You know, we're ultimately getting to a place where humanity's back is being put against the wall, and we're going to have to stand up for ourselves because we're simply not going to have any other choice. You know, as bad as the 5G grid is, ultimately it's a gift to mankind because it shows us just how far we've gone off our path with the internet and with these scrying mirrors that we carry around, everyone's addiction to their mobile phones. And it's basically the universe providing us with an ultimatum. And it's got to the point now where people are simply going to have to make that choice. You can either put down your scrying mirror, put down your mobile phone and stop using your credit card, or you can walk into a slavery system, which will last maybe 10 years, maybe 15 years. And after that, you'll very likely have all the technology removed from you altogether, and you'll be left to your own devices to fend for yourself in the wild. We have a very real possibility of actually going that way. We could end up in a Mad Max reality simply because people refuse to put down their cell phones now. And as far-fetched as that may sound, there's a real possibility of that happening. But anyway, I think we've reached the end of the show here, folks. I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. Thank you to anybody who supports the Patreon account. I really couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for you. So I cannot put out my appreciation to you people enough. You really are the only ones who keep me going. Also, folks, if you're thinking about it, there is a Cambo workshop in Hawaii in November. Please check my website for details about that. I'll actually put out a short video regarding that workshop soon, just to let you know what's going on there. It's going to be really good, and I hope to see you there. But that is all for me this week, folks. I'm completely out of time. Thank you again to all those people who listen to the show, who support the Patreon account, and who send me all the wonderful kind emails that you do. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Hopefully, I will be back next week. If not, it will be the week after, but I'll try for next week. But I look forward to speaking to you again whenever that is. Please take very good care until then, my friends. In La Keshe.